Hello, Exopolitics listeners. I'm R.V. Romero, Stellar Artistic Director of Exopolitics Radio. I'd like to thank you all for listening to our show and for taking an interest in the evolution of our planet and our species through Exopolitics Radio and the study of law and order in the universe. For over a year now, I've enjoyed working closely with your elusive host, Alfred Weber, on this fine production that we're proud to broadcast on a weekly basis and post free of charge on our website. Currently, I'm happy to say that in the last 90 days, ExopoliticsRadio.com has been visited by people in over 56 countries and 492 cities around the globe, including all 50 states in the U.S. During that time, we've averaged over 5,000 podcast downloads per show, and we're adding listeners every week with affiliates at Paranormal Radio, the Revere Radio Network, and most recently, Kansas City Online Radio. Now, I'm telling you all this to give you an update on how our show is progressing, and also to let you know that indeed, the number of intelligent people here on Earth who are catching on to the fact that there are other intelligent life forms in the universe is growing. And Exopolitics Radio is proud to be on the cutting edge of this revelation by reporting news and providing the insight and perspectives that you can't find anywhere else on the radio, in the newspapers, or on the television. We want to continue bringing you Exopolitics Radio both online and on air free of charge, as we always have, because we believe in the message and the content. However, as a studio and production team, we do have routine expenses which must be maintained in order to do so. It pains us to ask, and I promise we won't do it often, but if every listener online donated $1 a month, that would completely cover our production costs for the show and the immense amount of time spent doing research, interviews, and production time given graciously by our host. Of course, not every listener is going to be able to donate $1 or donate on a monthly basis, so if you could consider donating a little bit more, that would be a tremendous help and allow us to continue adding more and more affiliates, creating new programs, interviews, and materials, and most importantly, continue broadcasting this message of hope and truth around the globe and the universe. So whatever the outcome, I can promise you that we will continue working to bring you a unique and sincere program week in and week out, 12 months a year. So we thank you for your support of Exopolitics Radio. Please remember to go to www.exopoliticsradio.com and click on the donate menu option for more information. Thank you very much, and now back to the show.
The views expressed on Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are the views of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of our on-air affiliates or our sponsors.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, a weekly magazine format public affairs program on exopolitics, the new political science of outer space, the science of relations between our human civilization and other intelligent civilizations in the universe. Exopolitics Radio can be heard on 1480 AM KPHX Progressive Talk Phoenix and worldwide on the internet at www.exopoliticsradio.com. Our audio archives, which are open 24/7 in the Gregorian calendar and eternally in the galactic calendar, are at www.exopoliticsradio.com. I'm your ever-present but elusive host, Alfred Weber, and today we have a special guest. Our interview is on exopolitics and crop circles with Canadian filmmaker Robert Nickel, and so we will have our official Exopolitics Radio commentary on exopolitics and crop circles, and we'll continue that in a vein of an earlier program, because these are themes which have to come back again and again and again and cannot disappear in a blip. I mean, I think that the intelligence behind the UFO phenomenon, the extraterrestrial multidimensional intelligence, now has been at it for over 60 years, since the mid to late 1940s, just saying, we're here, we're here, we're here, we're here, we're here. We're here, we're here, we're here, we're here, we're here. It's a very basic message, a mile long, half a mile wide, over Stephenville, 60 miles away from the Texas White House, as F-15 scramble You know, it's the same old dance, the same thing as 1952 over the U.S. Capitol as, what were they then, saber jets were sent out by Harry S. Truman, haberdasher from St. Louis, who did the Truman Doctrine, set up anti-communism as the operant word, facilitated the Rockefeller Report that set up, the modus operandi of the American empire as anti-extraterrestrialism and, permanent war. My God, folks, we're on a galactic emergency here. Well, as it turns out, the multidimensional and extraterrestrial intelligence that is very fortunately not giving up on us is into a variety of forms of contact, one of which is known as crop circles. And that'll be the interview today, which is very interesting. And in 2005, there were a series of crop circles. One famous crop circle picture that appeared at Garsington near Oxford, England, on July 15th, 2005. I'm looking at the crop circle here, and if you go to www.exopolitics.com, you'll be able to see it too. We've juxtaposed the crop circle picture right next to the picture of Comet 17P Holmes as it expanded from a relatively normal comet in just a short period, October 24th to 25th, it suddenly blew up to become the largest object in the solar system, twice as large as the sun. And this was heralded 2 years before, on July 15th, 2005. And you can see the exact patterning in this crop circle that is almost identical to the patterning that the comet 17P Holmes took. It's quite amazing. And so this multidimensional extraterrestrial intelligence behind crop circles communicating to us exopolitically because of the non-locality in time of its mind had access to this information and is communicating to us an important fact, because it could be projection, but it could be that this is the famous blue star, the blue kachina of Hopi prophecy fame. And in Hopi prophecy, there are 9 signs in the Hopi prophecy. I mean, if you hold to Hopi prophecy, there are many, many, many different prophecies, and you can say that they're all subjective, which they are, and Hopi prophecy can be extremely subjective. I mean, listen to the 8th sign. You will see many youth who wear their hair long like our people come and join the tribal nations to learn our ways and wisdom. In other words, hippies. Now, is that something that is really subjective? I mean, you know, I'm a child of the 60s. Remember back to the 60s? Out at, Woodstock concert. I went to the Woodstock concert. I was a Wall Street lawyer then. I only grew my hair long in the 70s, but out of sequence. But, you know, all these aspersions were cast upon the hippies when, in fact, according to the prophecies, they were sort of the star seeds, the evolutionary avant-garde, the ones who were avoiding the evolutionary cul-de-sac and looking forward. Well, let's listen to the 9th and last sign. You will hear of a dwelling place in the heavens above the earth that shall fall with a great crash. What's that about? Does that mean it will appear as a blue star? Very soon after this, the ceremonies of the Hopi people will cease. These are the signs the great destruction is coming. The world shall rock to and fro. The white man will battle against each other in other lands with those who possess the first light of wisdom. Does that sound like Iraq to you? Of course, it could be one of any sort of imperialistic ventures. There will be many columns of smoke and fire, such as White Feather has seen the white man make in deserts not far from here. Now, White Feather was a Hopi elder who in the summer of 1958 accepted a motorcycle ride from a minister named David Young and stated, "I am Whitefeather, a Hopi of the ancient Bear Clan. In my long life, I have traveled to this land seeking out my brothers and learning from them many things full of wisdom. I have followed the sacred paths of my people. And now Whitefeather is dying. His sons have all joined his ancestors, and soon too he shall be with them. My people have grown tired of the old ways, the great ceremonies that tell of our origins and of our emergence into the fourth world are almost all abandoned, forgotten. Yet even this has been foretold. The time grows short." So Whitefeather has seen white man making deserts not far from here means that Whitefeather saw the actual Trinity tests or the nuclear tests in the 1950s. Only those which come will cause disease and a great dying. In other words, that the wars which are coming will cause a great dying amongst humanity. "Many of my people understand the prophecies shall be safe. Those who stay and live in the places of my people shall also be safe," kind of the Four Corners area. "Then there will be much to rebuild, and soon, very soon afterward, Pahana will return. He shall bring with him the dawn of the fifth world. He shall plant the seeds of his wisdom in their hearts. Even now the seeds are being planted. These shall smooth the way to the emergence into the fifth world." So that we're talking about the emergence from the fourth to the fifth world. And all of these prophetic times, we're now coming up to 2012, the end of one tune, one organic unit of time in the galactic calendar of the Mayans, which is rumored to be a Pleiadian calendar, and the beginning of another organic unit of time? Or is it the end of our sort of ordinary time or our current play on this planet in this mode? That is something that it appears has been communicated to us through these crop circles. And so we're going to have an exploration in crop circles as exopolitics. Now, this is not like cocktail party chatter. This is quite teleological. In other words, there's a goal in mind. The advanced, upper-dimensional, ethical, extraterrestrial civilizations that have, for the last 60 years, been approaching humankind and gently through the UFO phenomenon, using principles of peripheral cueing, bringing us into consciousness that we live in a populated universe and that higher dimensional intelligence exists, have been bringing us also messages of content, that we live in a populated universe and that there are consequences to our living on a populated planet, and that the planet may be in a bad way ecologically, and that there may be consequences into our toying around with nuclear weapons and with war, with a gourd of ashes, as the Hopi prophecy says, as I helped the Hopi elders back in 1982 on the upper floors of the House of Micah, the United Nations Secretariat. So, once again, we're moving through time. Remember, crop circles are exopolitics also, and we urge you to start visiting the Crop Circle Connector at www.cropcircleconnector.com, because you will find there many messages from our ethical, upper-dimensional, extraterrestrial, multidimensional elders. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
think that you're probably the most dangerous thing I've heard on the radio in a long time.
Information is power. Exopolitics Radio, inside information on Earth's most powerful stakeholders, advanced extraterrestrial civilization. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Saturday nights, 8 p.m., KPHX, Nova M Network, audio archives, www.exopoliticsradio.com, anytime. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. We're with our special guest, Canadian filmmaker Robert Nickel, who has produced over 25 films in his career, including the award-winning film Star Dreams, which is on Crop Circles. And as I was discussing with Robert prior to the program, Crop Circles are a form of apparently multidimensional or extraterrestrial contact, but I get far ahead of ourselves here. Welcome, Robert.
Oh, thank you, Alfred.
Yeah, Robert, what exactly are crop circles?
Well, they are symbols. Some of them call them agri-glyphs, but basically they're symbols that are implanted in any medium, by the way, that can receive them, mostly in cereal grains, wheat and oats, rye, so forth. But they're in snow, ice, rice fields, fields of flowers, sand, any medium that can receive an impression. And my take on them is that these are messages that have come at a point of great transition on this planet to help lift us up to higher levels of being, into a new levels of consciousness. So they're a gift to humankind to bring us into more universal mindset.
Now, of course, we're on a radio program here, so we can't give examples of crop circles. And I've seen your very moving film, Star Dreams. Could you just describe one of the more vivid, authentic crop circles? That is one that you really don't think is a product of hoaxing, but seems to be done by other than human agency. Where you saw it and when that happened?
Well, that's a good question because, or point of reference, because first of all, there is a consensus among all the researchers that these crop circles are created by non-human sources. And there's been about 40 or more eyewitnesses, maybe more, that say they happen in less than 10 seconds. So that kind of rules out the hoaxing thing, even though there are a few that are hoaxed. But the one that I used in the film was called the Catherine Wheel, and this is in 2001. And it was a magnificent circle. It has been defined as new cycles of creation. It was about almost 800 feet in diameter and had 409 separate circles in it. It's a magnificent thing, and if people want to see it, they have to get onto the Crop Circle Connector and go into archives and look at that.
Uh-huh. What exactly is the Crop Circle Connector, and how can people access it?
Okay, the Crop Circle Connector is just, you know, www.cropcircleconnector is... It has an update of all the circles for each circle season, and it also connects with a lot of the researchers, most of the researchers that we have in our film. And then you can link to their websites and see what they're up to. But it's a very good resource. And also, so is Linda Mutenhau's website, Earth Files. And there's also, if people are interested in the Canadian one, it's the Canadian Crop Circle Network, CCCRN, three C's, N, CCCN. Research networks, excuse me, CCCRN. That deals with all the Canadian ones. And then there's many other different websites. Lucy Pringle has one, and Michael Glickman has one, and Stephen, Karen Alexander have one called Temporary Temples. It's a wonderfully rich and profound research base if people want to really get into it. And, of course, the circles themselves are absolutely stunning, and particularly last year. I mean, they're just amazing. They really do blow your mind.
Right. Now, would you say that then that crop circles are a form of extraterrestrial contact?
Yes. They're a communication. They're a communique. But, you know, there's more than one intelligence involved. I mean, there is an extraterrestrial intelligence, but there's also an earth intelligence or an earth response. In other words, the energy or the thought form, or is, and some say it's holographic thought form, is presented into the planet or whatever the, let's say it's a field of wheat, which is kind of common, and the plants themselves, and also the various dimensional beings that exist on this planet, the devas, the elementals, and so forth, all respond, and it's an almost like a loving marriage or interaction between these various forces. So it's not just a direct message from the extraterrestrials, although it is, but it relies on an Earth intelligence. In fact, it hasn't been ruled out yet that the planetary logos, like Gaia herself, is sending thought forms to humanity. So it's an absolutely wonderful, fascinating mystery. And that's why I called the Star Dreams, the subtitle is Exploring the Mystery of the Crop Circles.
Well, now, this program, as you know, is called Exopolitics Radio, exopolitics being the new political science of outer space, or of relations between human society and other intelligent civilizations in the universe, which could include interdimensional civilizations. It could include the civilization of Gaias or of planetary intelligences. How would you parse crop circles as part of exopolitics or of the communications that you see in crop circles as part of exopolitics?
Well, the crop circles themselves are based on sacred geometry, which is the basic blueprint of the cosmic construct, or another way of looking at it is the template behind all form. So it's a very pure, abstract language. And my take on that is it's the language that is used throughout the universe to communicate between the extraterrestrial species. I feel this universe is teeming with life, waiting to be contacted. So in comes this communique, which has been going on for quite a long time. It became more prominent in the late 70s, but it's been going on even before that. And we've had 11,000 now since 1980, all over the planet. And those are only the ones that have been reported. So this is no small thing. And each year they get more complex, more sophisticated, as we seem to learn from each season, then they take us another step. So it's a great gift. I think it's helping prepare us for contact. And so there ties right in with exopolitics. The more we study these incredible symbols and messages and the messages within the circles, because in sacred geometry there's more hidden messages, then the more we are more able to rise up on our level of consciousness, which I think we have to do to prepare ourselves for contact, because we're dealing with very evolved beings.
Right, right. Now, one of the threads we were talking about earlier in crop circles, it's been theorized, is that the makers of the crop circles, or at least the ones that have been found to be authentic, people are hypothesizing that they're being used as communication tools. Could you talk a bit about that and why people think that?
Well, they are very sophisticated, and in fact, Gerald Hawkins, who wrote Stonehenge Decoded, he's dead now, but he actually, by studying the crop circles, brought out new geometric theorems. I mean, I think the first since Euclid, but it's a very high level of consciousness that and a very evolved thought forms that are being presented to us. And there are prophetic crop circles. In fact, all of the crop circles have messages, but to this effect, the ones that are attributing to the Blue Star Comet that you referred to before is an indication of some kind of turmoil in the heavens on Earth and in the heavens and on Earth and in the galaxy, it's transfiguring itself or transforming itself into a new dispensation. So this is the really interesting thing that people are talking about now.
Okay, let me jump in there, because we may be getting just a bit ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
First of all, we want to establish that crop circles are in fact being used as communications. How did people first begin to establish that they were being used as a form of communications?
First of all, people studying them have found out that there are certain references to ancient symbols and ancient texts, and there are certain leading questions or thought forms that take us into certain directions. I mean, there's also a lot of speculation and a lot of theories about it too. You know, each, the thing about it is each crop circle has its own electromagnetic signature, and we as human beings vibrate at certain frequencies, and so our reaction to them are highly unique, especially when we're in them. But even looking at them, we can interpret them in our own way. And I think this is an ancient, timeless, universal language that we really know on a very deep level, because a lot of people recognize them for the first time and yet they've never seen them before. That's what happened to me. And that it touches on something that, and I think we're being asked to relearn this language that we know on a psychic level.
So there are crop circles now that have symbols on them that people are saying that actually, for example, one seems to be an answer to or is connected to one of the messages that was sent out during the 70s in one of the space probes, correct?
Oh, that was Carl Sagan's, the other astronomer who was with him out of Cornell University, sent out a encodement, right? That was in 74.
Right.
And it was sent out, it was called the Arecibo.
Yes.
And there was a response to it as a crop circle in 2001. And 2002, they responded to his presentation that he put out into space. He sent it towards the star cluster M13, what's called the Hercules star cluster. And what happened was that he got a response back. And that's, I've dealt with this in the film. And there were 9 references to mistakes that Sagan had made, and one of them, of course, was that they had a new, different human form, and Sagan had said in this statement that we are from Earth, third planet from the Sun, and the reply came back and said we are from Earth and Mars, which is also very fascinating because the Hopis talk about the visitors from Mars, and then we get into the Hopi prophecies. But going back to what I said earlier about the Catherine wheel, I mean, that was the most magnificent crop circle of all time up to that point in 2001 in July. And it happened on a very windy, rainy night at the top of a mesa. And it would be impossible for anybody to make that. Even a crew of people working under floodlights couldn't even come close to approximating it. And so I used that as the one to, you know, absolutely flatten the concept that they're all man-made. And that one was about new cycles of creation. And there are people who are capable of interpreting some of these circles or the messages in them. One of them is Judith Moore, who's in the film, and she has a book out called Crop Circles Revealed, a very powerful book, and she defines about 25 of them, the messages in 25 of them. So coming back to your earlier query, I mean, there are direct messages. Now, depending on our individual response, we can relate to them differently, and maybe the messages are slightly altered for each person, but basically, in general, they're saying, wake up, there's a new world coming, it's time to join into your galactic brotherhood and sisterhood, and we are presenting these symbols now and offering these messages to help you get to that point.
We'll be right back after the break. Please stay tuned. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, and we are continuing with our interview. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Thank you. Now, one series of crop circles that came up in 2005 reportedly relates to an astronomical event that we had here in the solar system just quite recently, when the comet 17P Holmes suddenly expanded to be the largest single object in the solar system. Some sources say twice as large as the sun. It's a big blue kind of glowing object. And, you know, while it's very, very dangerous to ascribe prophetic texts to celestial objects, humanity has been doing that since time immemorial. And there are some people saying that some crop circles that appeared in 2005 seem to presage this astronomical event happening of the sudden expansion of Comet 17P Holmes in October, November of 2007. I wonder if you could talk about that.
Well, I guess the question is, could Comet Holmes be the Blue Star Kachina prophecy? And there have been a number of these glyphs that are related to cosmic circumstance. I mean, the big one was in 98 called the Colliding Comet glyph. But there's been, in 05, there were three, one in July, two in July and one in August, and they were so-called exploding comet, or, you know, it's hard to say because these may be stretching the point a bit. And there's lots of information on the crop circle connector. But I would say that certainly, and we've got one in the film too, which is the exploding planet one, which is rather the one that has the galaxy in it, has the, it's a representation of our solar system, only it's called the missing planet, the missing planet one, because Earth is not in it. So that's another interesting thing. So who's to say? I mean, it's certainly, I think, an indication that planetary bodies do adhere to certain principles of motion and balance, and if they're thrown off balance, then the new configurations appear, and some of these crop circles seem to be showing new configurations. So the prophecy that we speak of, the so-called comet, or if it is a comet, or an exploding sun, or whatever, is of startling significance and proportion, because it's not the so-called Planet X, which is a lot of talk about that, and that's another story. But certainly the crop circles tie in with or prophesize along the line of a gift given to humanity to prepare itself for a significant change. Now, that we can say with some assurance. Sense of being, because this phenomena is a gift to humanity to help lift our consciousness to higher levels. That's my understanding of it and my belief in it. And the more we study these messages that are inherent in the crop circle design, and the more we come up to new levels of understanding. So it is a gift, and it is helping us heading towards enlightenment.
Well, you've spent actually a lot of time around crop circles and around the intelligence behind crop circles, in terms of immersing yourself in them, filming them, creating a work of art around them, bringing that artwork to the world, and now as a form of communication. And I can certainly see the function of this form of contact raising our consciousness. And now we have a series of crop circles that are pointing to, or that seem to be pointing to, a specific, or cueing into, a specific set of prophetic communications, namely that of the Blue Kachina, which, as we know, is the 10th or the 9th and final sign of the Hopi prophecy, which is, on its terms, quite cataclysmic.
Yes, that's right. We had a kind of lackluster season in Canada last year and for the last couple of years, although there was a few more in the United States than normal, but the big one was this crop circle that's talked about, they call it the Worlds in Collision crop circle glyph. I don't know why they call it that. So it ties in with Emmanuel Velikovsky and his workings about the fact that we've had, within recorded history, huge worldwide catastrophes, I think 28 and 38 centuries ago, two different times. But the one that they're talking about here was the one that happened, it was in July 14th, 2007, and they call it various names, near Stanton Bridge in Wiltshire in England, called the Solar System One, and that one was 150 feet in diameter in wheat, and it had nine planets. And then one off the side, which they think might be the newly discovered planet, and I think that was missing. And there's been various interpretations of that, right? I mean, there was an article in the Crop Circle Connector by a fellow called Chris Watt, and he identify the planets based on their size and their proximity from the sun, right? And it seems to be about a stellar collision. That's what they seem to be talking about now. And then you can, Neil Olson in his work, he's got a book out called Crop Circles Deciphered, where he ties in biblical prophecy with the crop circles. When he's jumped on that one big time, and you know, there's all kinds of quotes from the Bible. The stars will fall from the sky, and heavenly bodies will be shaken, and so forth. That comes from Luke, and he has a lot of. He seems to feel anyway that this is an indication of the return of Christ consciousness. Now, it's hard to get into this because it then becomes. You start getting into all the doom and gloom stuff, right? I mean, you're talking about a colliding comet when. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, we may have a flyby or we may have something, but I don't think it's a bad news thing.
I.e. that crop circles could be they're sort of a Rorschach, a universal Rorschach test, and whatever your particular cosmic consciousness is, whether you're oriented toward Earth changes or Earth ascension or elevation, well, that's what you're going to see in them. And meanwhile, the Earth is sort of plodding along on a geological course, which science can pretty well tell us. Is that a vision that you hold to? Or
the two points of view are, one is that it's talking about some kind of possible colliding comet or bad news about Earth changes and so forth, right? The other one is that it's this comet that's exploded, called a blue sun, they look at that as a great sign of the return of Christ consciousness to the material plane.
Right.
And it represents a reunification of the spiritual self with earthly existence, which is happening anyway in terms of our evolution and consciousness, which is happening all over the planet. We're in it. It's obviously that consciousness is a new frontier and that we're going through a great spiritual renaissance on this planet. I mean,
right.
People can plug into that one.
Right.
So the idea that this blue sun is the Christ itself revealed is the most positive spin you can take on this one, right?
Right. Now, in your estimation, and I realize that all of these kind of spiritual sciences are highly subjective, but in your kind of feel, what's your feel about the fact that Comet 17P Holmes may be the vaunted blue kachina or ninth and final sign of the Hopi prophecy, realizing, of course, that that's what they said about the Hale-Bopp comet?
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Well, I sort of feel probably there's some truth to that. I really need to do more study. You must remember that I'm not a crop circle researcher. I'm not a croppy. I'm just a filmmaker, a messenger boy here.
Well, but you do give these matters some thought.
Yes.
And you have made a film that I think has given many thousands of audiences around the world a deep experience of what the crop circle phenomenon is. So that's why I'm asking you.
If you go by the Hopi prophecies, you're quite right. And the ninth prophecy, I just was reading something by Whitefeather. He's a Hopi of the Bear Clan. And he looks at the whole thing as the... It ties into Sirius, which is the blue star Kachina. Although it's supposedly not a, well, I don't know. It's not a mere comet, and it's not a sun. And of course, according to Mitch Batros, it's an extraterrestrial artifact brought into our solar system.
You mean that Comet 17P Holmes was an extraterrestrial artifact?
That's what he thinks. And you know, it's his, and his purpose was to activate, host, and emit certain cosmic energies that saturates all the worlds on the planet and brings us up to higher consciousness. But I don't know. The story of the blue kachina is a very, very old story, and it has lots to do with the sign of great destruction coming. And they claim, the Hopis, that if when it appears in the heavens, it means we're in their end times.
Right.
And it's like an alarm clock that says, okay, a new day and a new way of life and a new world is coming.
Right.
And we all know that anyway. You know, I mean, totally believe that.
It's the blue kachina is followed by the red dawn.
That's right, and they call it the red kachina, which is the purifier, right?
Right.
And that's supposed to bring on the great day of purification.
Yeah.
And where are they tied in? I mean, certainly where Whitefeather brings into it, he talks about messages written, will be found written in living stone and through sacred grains and in the waters. Well, the sacred grains must be the crop circles, I guess. even though their popsicles are found on ice and all over the place, but the most prominent ones are in grains. So
now you one of your earliest films I noticed was entitled Wheat, and you actually made a documentary on the entire process in Canada of growing wheat.
Right. But that was sort of like that was the only film I'd ever done that was sort of like a promotional vehicle for the Canadian Wheat Board, and it was used as a film to travel around the world and pitch the quality of Canadian wheat. You know?
Well, that that turns out to be one of the mediums in which crop circles appear. I'm just pointing out a certain synchronicity, as they say.
Well, certainly this is a greatly significant and perhaps profound event. All right. And the question is it for the benefit of us all? You know, is it foretelling what? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of theories out there. I mean, they're talking about the flyby in 2009 of Planet X, in 2012, beginning of the Great Tribulations. Although if you follow Bashar, who Daryl Anka channels, he thinks that 2012 is the end of the planetary quarantine, right? Since we have a planet in quarantine, it's been such a warlike, aggressive, violent planet for so long that, and then when the quarantine lifts in 2012, then presumably we can be visited by extraterrestrials.
So actually, what all this means is things are just going to get better and better and better.
Well, 2012 is supposed to be kind of a rocky year, like a fasten your seatbelt year. All that's been prophesized.
Mm-hmm.
If this blue sun is the Christ itself revealed, you know, in other words, it supposedly brings a cycle of integrations for humanity.
But it sure went through with a blip.
Well, it's really hard because people are really not open to anything that challenges their reality construct. So they immediately go into denial. It's what they don't know, they don't want to know. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really an educator. I try to help out by bringing certain information out. And as a filmmaker, that's the medium I've chose to kind of work as an educator or communicator. And I constantly run into this stonewalling by people who just, you know, they just refuse to look at anything that's coming in any sense beyond their, you know.
Beyond the thing.
You know, Robert, I just have to jump in here. We've come to the end of a very interesting segment that has flown by, and we're certainly going to have you on again to give a crop circle update. But can you tell us where people who want to know more about Star Dreams and your work, how they can find out more?
Okay, thank you. Well, let me just sum this all up by saying that this whole blue star thing seems to represent some alteration in our solar system to come. That's my take. Now, the people can find out about Star Dreams by going to our website, which is just Star Dreams, like www.stardreams, all one word, dash or hyphen, crop circles, all one word, .com. And there's a 2.5-minute clip on it, and there's a section called Point to Point, which really gets into a more esoteric look at what the meaning of the crop circles is. And if they want to purchase it, they can purchase it through the website, and there's a U.S. distributor they can find it. And then if they want to know more, there's several books. One is called Mysterious Lights and Crop Circles by Linda Mouton Howe. That's an earlier book that came out. There's Crop Circles Revealed, I mentioned, by Judith Moore. There's Crop Circles Deciphered by Neil Olson. And all you got to do is go on Google and find them. And then Bear Cloud, who's also in the film, all these people are in the film, by the way, has come out one called The Gifts of the Star Nations.
And then there's Freddie Silva's book also.
And that's right. Thank you for mentioning that. And Freddie's in the film. Freddie's actually the sort of host in the film, or he represents the narrative spine of the film. He does a wonderful job. But the film is still carrying on. It still has its progressive success. It's now at the Tel Aviv Spiritual Film Festival, and it's been invited to other conferences. And we've sold about 7,000 DVDs, so it's getting out there. And it's spreading the good news that we're not alone in the universe.
So, you have left us with a nugget. There is an alteration to the solar system to come, and that is what the contact, that form of contact, called crop circles. That is one nugget that form of contact, exopolitical contact, called crop circles, seem to be telling us over this period of time. We've been with Robert Nickel, Canadian filmmaker, creator of the film Star Dreams. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you. This is your host, Alfred Weber. Would you like to download instantly the book Exopolitics by Alfred Weber that founded the field of exopolitics and was the cosmic trigger to a paradigm shift of opening to extraterrestrial civilizations? Would you like to download a CD-ROM of Exopolitics Radio Season 1 uncut version with interviews you have not heard on air? You can do so now by going right now to our website, www.exopoliticsradio.com, and downloading. There is no shipping, there is no waiting. Downloading the book, Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe by Alfred Weber, and the CD-ROM, Exopolitics Radio Season 1 Uncut Version. You'll be helping yourself, Exopolitics, and Exopolitics Radio into Season 2. Thank you.
Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Well, you can see that Exopolitics is just not fellow androids on extraterrestrial spacecraft or, you know, walking around on planet Earth among us in various as yet to be determined roles. Exopolitics comes to various significators, including highly complex and inspiring crop circles. With very important messages in them, because guess what? It's 2008, we've turned a corner, and things are serious, folks. It really counts. This is Exopolitics Radio, which is produced by Phineas Productions in conjunction with 1480 KPHX Progressive Talk Phoenix, executive producer Richard Romero Sr., director R.V. Romero, producer and editor Chris Romero. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, wishing you a wonderful, miracle-filled, and crop circle-enhanced day, week, and life. Thank you.